Cast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hello, and welcome to the future of digital transformation in US dairy. You're very welcome, and good morning for US guests, and good afternoon for Irish guests. My name is David Corcoran. I'm the manager of Enterprise Ireland's Boston and Chicago's offices. Today's event will look at the digital revolution occurring in the US dairy sector, and we will discuss the opportunities for Irish companies to scale in the US. We have a great panel. I'm very much looking forward to hearing from Danone North America and one of our own Enterprise Ireland client companies, Piper Systems, who's have had a lot of success in scaling in the US dairy sector. But first, we are delighted to be joined by Minister Robert Troy, Minister for State of Trade Promotion, Digital and Company Regulation, to open today's event. Minister.
Are you okay?
Perfect. Minister, yes. You're very welcome.
So good morning and to our guests from America, and good afternoon to our Irish guests. It's a great pleasure for me to be asked to speak to you today, and I look forward to an enlightening discussion on the digital transformation occurring in the US dairy sector and how Irish innovation can help shape the future of this sector. I would like to welcome both Piper Systems and the Danone North America and thank them for joining us at this event today. I wish to congratulate Piper Systems on securing FDA approval for their DynaStream automated milk collection system, the first company to achieve this in the US market. Piper Systems is a shining example of an innovative Irish company winning on the world stage. It's so exciting to see a company with the reputation of Danone recognize the competencies and the quality of Piper Systems and to integrate Piper's DynaStream system into their operations in the United States. For Irish companies, the United States has always been a key market. Enterprise Ireland clients exported products and services to a record of 4.7 billion euro in North America, which grew at a rate of 16% and represents 18% of exports by Enterprise Ireland client companies globally. Our relationship within the agriculture and dairy sector in the United States has played a very important role in this growth story. Ireland is recognized as a global leader in the dairy sector, and I look forward to the strengthening of that relationship between the Irish and US dairy sector, in part through products and services of our innovative Irish agri-tech and dairy tech companies. This year, 2021, in particular, is when we make trade promotion a priority. As a small open economy, trade and its promotion are key. And both my department and Enterprise Ireland are committed to supporting Irish organisations as we recover from COVID-19 and ready ourselves in this new world. Throughout 2020, Enterprise Ireland has provided a range of COVID-19 supports to viable and vulnerable Irish businesses through several financial instruments totaling over 142 million euros. These supports have helped Irish firms to stabilize, allowing companies to focus on resetting and recovering from the impact of COVID-19. Over 220,000 people are employed in Enterprise Ireland companies, as per the end of year results, which was released by EI earlier this month. This is fueled by their global ambition to scale and reach new markets, very much including the United States. I look forward, as I say, to growing those figures in the months and years ahead. And I look forward to hearing from Lee Hamilton and Dr. Jennifer Walker on the opportunities that exist within the US dairy sector and understand how Irish technologies can help increase efficiency, sustainability, and traceability within the US dairy sector. Thank you for the opportunity to contribute to this morning, and I look forward to the session as it evolves.
Thank you, Minister. And we really appreciate you joining us today and also appreciate all your support of Irish companies exporting internationally and particularly to North America. The Minister will also join us at the close of today's session to provide closing remarks and thank you again. So now we'd like to move on to our panel for today's session. I'm delighted to welcome Lee Hamilton, CEO of Piper Systems, Dr. Jennifer Walker of Danone North America, and Joe Gorman, who is our industrial market executive based in Enterprise Ireland, Boston's office. Jennifer, Lee, Joe, you're very welcome, and I'll hand over to Joe.
Thank you very much, David, for the introduction, and Minister Troy for joining us today. It's great to have you with us and great to see everyone joining from the US and Ireland in our attendee group. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic, price volatility, and the drive towards sustainability in dairy farming means that farmers, processors, and haulers now have different needs and challenges. Digital innovation has played a central role as the US dairy industry seeks to modernize and automate, smoothing out processing inefficiencies and safety concerns. In leveraging digital, Irish companies can win in the space by delivering scalable solutions that offer improvements across the value chain. One great example of that is today's guest, Enterprise Ireland client company Piper Systems, who recently won FDA approval for their Dynastream product, as the Minister said, the only system approved by the NCWM authority as a legal for payment device across the USA. Piper's ability to deliver accurate weights and measures and temperatures, fully representative samples and real-time product data and traceability results in a streamlined milk collection process that makes things safer, easier, and more efficient. Today, we're joined by Lee Hamilton, CEO at Piper. Lee is a qualified barrister that honed her business skills by founding, scaling, and selling her first company before joining Piper, the family business, in 2015, where she has led the charge into the US market. Opposite Lee, we welcome Dr. Jennifer Walker, the Director of Milk Quality for Danone North America. Dr. Walker is a veterinarian focused on dairy cattle health, milk quality, and animal welfare, who throughout her career has transformed the notion of practicing medicine from the farm to the boardroom, and now focuses her efforts on improving animal welfare and milk quality in a mission to nourish lives and inspire a healthier world through food. After working at Dean Foods, Dr. Walker joined Danone North America, one of the top 15 food and beverage companies in the US. With 6,000 staff, offices in the US and Canada, and a dozen manufacturing facilities, Danone North America is the largest public benefit corporation and certified B Corp in the world, with a shared commitment to purpose, growth, and food. Ideals I think we can all get on board with, and two pretty dazzling CVs to kick us off today. But as we're Enterprise Ireland, and I'm a little bit biased, I'm going to go to our Irish guest first, and that is Lee Hamilton. Lee, very welcome today. And can I just ask you, I've given the quick once-over of Piper Systems, but from your perspective, can you just give us an explanation and your perspective on what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joe. And thanks to David and to the Minister as well for that welcome. Piper Systems is a 25-year-old company. We're a business that focuses on dairy tech, and we specialize in metering, sampling, and data. Our focus is that little piece of the dairy world between the farm and the plant, and ensuring that we know everything we can about that product as quickly as we can, so that companies like Jen's can be assured that their product is handled the way it is supposed to be, all the way from the farm to the factory.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, and doing a pretty good job of things, as we can see. But I have to just ask you from a personal point of view. You know, we have two highly qualified guests here, and you know, what could lead you from a career in law to one in dairy tech entrepreneurship, and are there any transferable skills that aren't immediately obvious that you've carried from one career into the other?
Well, dairy people, and I think people in the US especially, they're very suspicious of lawyers. In fact, it's my dark secret in the US dairy industry that you've just exposed for everybody to know. But there are some transferable skills, actually. As you mentioned at the outset, entrepreneurship or business has always been something I've been interested in. And as it happened during my legal career, when we got vacations, I used to go and help my father in his business, and his business was the dairy business. So it was important, I think, to get to know that from the ground up that's what I did. And around the time that my dad was looking to step back a little bit in the business, it was the same time that he was coming across and discovering the scope of the opportunity that the company had in the US. And so one of the massive challenges that there was in approaching the US, and I know we'll talk about this later on in the webinar, was understanding and navigating the regulatory process. And as it happened, that was something that was a native language to me. So there are transferable skills, not all of them, and I'm still keeping my dark secret under my hat in future. But for now, that's the journey, I guess, of going from being a lawyer to joining the family business and to getting immersed in the world of the US dairy.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure our attendees would say that your secret is safe with us, but it's great to hear that there's some regulatory symbiosis between the two. Also, somebody with a fascinating background, Dr. Walker, Jen, if I may, you qualified as a veterinarian, and I was just wondering, you've dedicated your life and career to improving animal welfare and health, and I was wondering how your background as a veterinarian has helped to shape your approach to work in a more traditional corporate role.
Yes, thanks. And thanks again for letting me join today and inviting me to be a part of this. I think there's probably a couple things. I think first off, and I'm actually always quick to remind folks in the corporate sort of space that above all, I am a veterinarian first, and I'm their employee second. And I think sometimes that takes them off guard, and it's maybe hard to hear. But I took an oath, and that was to protect animal welfare, public health, and food safety and the food supply, and nothing comes before that. And so it makes it so, there's just certain things I won't budge on. And I think it actually creates a healthy tension when we approach some situations, because I have that solid compass that guides me through some challenging decisions that we have to make. But beyond that, I really think, and Lee can probably appreciate this with her dad's work with farms, is that, when you work with dairy farmers, you understand change in a different way, and that really everything happens through people, and understand that, and bringing that to the sort of business equation, that it takes more than an MBA to figure out a path through some of these things, because we got to get people on board, we got to figure out all that. And so I think that as veterinarians, we really understand that human element, and probably more importantly, never underestimate it. So I think that's probably helped me out a little bit in working in the corporate space.
Of course, change is it's driven primarily through people, and it's inspiring to hear that, how much change can be affected by the passion of one person in yourself or a collective in your peers. But in terms of that change and how it's played out on sort of a macro context within the US, how have you seen US dairy changing in the last few years?
Oh, gosh. I do think that this change, sort of big picture at a high level. Historically, I think the dairy industry and dairy farmers have sort of seen, there was a tendency or a habit of thought where they saw themselves as the customer and not a supplier. And I think really in the last, 10, maybe even more, maybe less than that, 5 years, dairy farmers and the dairy industry itself is really starting to appreciate that they are, a supplier, and the focus is on our customer, and we have to deliver, and that connecting with that customer and the consumer is key. And having their trust and protecting that trust and maintaining it is essential to everything we do, which kind of ties back to the work that Lee and her company does. Is it's foundational to food safety, it's foundational to building transparency in our supply chain, and it sort of builds on that sort of whole that one pillar that we rely on in the business, which is trust. Without consumer trust, without our customers' trust, we lose everything. Our our CEO often refers to our brand as a promise well kept. And I think that's just, that hits at everything, right? So it's a promise of healthy food. It's a promise of safe food. It's a promise about food with integrity. And everything that starts at the farm, and it starts at and as Lee said, from farm to factory gate, and there's that little that space in between that we're responsible for, and that's where Lee's work comes in to help us do that. So I think that's just the transformational component, is this sort of complete shift in perspective from dairy farmers, from seeing themselves as the customer to really understanding their role in the supply chain.
Of course, and it's interesting to hear that you're focusing on a relatively, you know, it's an old school value, trust, but it's one that is almost easier to implement with the accountability of, you know, traceable supply chains, with open communications, and with really just increasing accountability across the board, whether you're dealing with the end customer or sort of B2B clients. And I'm interested to see how that dynamic kind of plays out in terms of your relationship with farmers and Danone's relationship with farmers, and also Piper's relationship with farmers, and how they've built those bridges. Do you think that it's easier to have that accountability and trust with more digital innovation? Do you think that that has helped the transformation from there being a disconnect with farmers and you being closer to them?
I think, and not just maybe with us, but with consumers as well, right? And so I think having that technology and this last year has been a great example of that, because we've had to find, I think we're kind of still old school. We're very boots on the ground on the farm. We relied on getting out on the farm. We relied on going out to check on things. And with COVID, we had to figure out a new way, and we haven't figured it all out. But again, technology like this is perfect. So I can troubleshoot from my desk. I don't have to drive 500 miles to go see what happened. We have that technology at our fingertips that allows the farmer to trust in what we're doing, but also again allows trust on the other side to kind of all the way through, and really unleashes our time to do, you know, other things as well. So I love it when I can find solutions that allow me to spend less time troubleshooting and less time figuring out what the problem is exactly, and spending more time on making things better. I think that's where we have challenges, is, you know, we all have limited bandwidth, and technology has the opportunity to free that up. And then that's where we can really develop those deeper relationships with farmers, because we're spending more time in that change management and less time really gathering the data and identifying the problem, because we do an awful lot of, kind of chasing ghosts sometimes, because we don't have good data. So we spend a lot of time chasing our tails trying to do that. So I think that's key in just kind of unleashing the time and the power and the energy that we want to give to farmers. That's essential to building that relationship that translates then again to the customer.
Of course, and that's central to that transformational change, and also all of the technology that we're seeing. That's the real excitement of digital. It's removing the inefficient processes, removing the paper, removing the time spent in the car, seeing what's broken in a location 500 miles away, as you said. Lee, I know you've mentioned something similar to that before, where you just are cutting an immense amount of sort of tech support time out for farmers and haulers and processors. So I'd go to you next on what you what made it obvious to you that the U.S. Dairy sector was ripe for a digital transformation, and specifically, what about the milk collection process made it seem like a great fit for digitization?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And it goes back to what Jen is saying there, really, that there is a hell of a lot of resource invested in the US in optimizing the processes that they have. And so, for example, when a milk truck arrives to collect milk, there are probably 35 or 40 steps that the hauler has to take in order to make sure that he's collecting that milk properly. That goes from washing his hands to sanitizing his thermometer to agitating for the correct period of time to dipping a sample using a ladle that's been properly cleaned. All of these steps that really, in order for confidence in the weight that's being established for the producer and the sample that's being established for the producer, in order for the producer and somebody in Jen's shoes, the purchaser of that milk, to have confidence, it relies on a human being doing the same 40 or 50 micro steps in exactly the same way, taking exactly the required amount of time over and over again, day after day. And unfortunately, the reality with human beings, and I'm one of them, we all know that you don't and you can't, because one day there might be snow on the ground and you might not get there until half an hour too late. One day the farmer might have finished milking, so the milk might have not chilled down enough and it may still be a little warm. One day you may, for example, your pen may run out of ink when you're trying to record the proper number. So your manifest then goes back with writing that's difficult to read. So when we went and we took a look at the granular detail of the process that there was in the US, that people had optimized as much as they could to allow drivers to complete it as easily as possible, as safely as possible, as quickly as possible. It was evident when we looked at that, that by automating some of the steps in that process, there was going to be a huge improvement in efficiency by being able to cut some of those steps out through automation, but also probably a huge improvement in quality and safety and those principles that are important to the trust that Jen is talking about. And because suddenly, instead of relying upon a driver to agitate for the legislated period of time and then allow a tank to settle when he's under such immense time pressure to pick up 20 other farms that day, suddenly agitation or homogenization of that milk wasn't required in order to sample. And Piper's technology allows them to sample by using the digital reading on that meter. You can get a representative sample all the way through that pickup. So there are pieces of technology that we were able to introduce that were able to optimize both the time efficiency, but also the quality. So it became very obvious at that point that if we could produce a product that that delivered that kind of value for clients in the US, but also could meet their stringent requirements, that we would have something that that there would be a demand for.
Excellent. And when you mentioned those two pillars, time and milk quality, I'd be interested to just find out what you think customers put the most emphasis on when you were having your initial discussions in the US. What was of the essence? Was it time or was it quality?
I think that very much depends on whom you're talking to. So there are people whose job it is to focus on the time aspect. And what they want to see is efficiency, and they want to see, and Irish companies know this, I think, from going to the US, they really need to see value for them there in their bottom line. Otherwise, the conversation will end. It'll be a great idea, but not something that's commercially viable. I think that if you're speaking to somebody in Jen's shoes, she probably has an eye on both of those things. But for her, the major one would be that trust and the quality of milk. So, of course, she wants to have efficient processes. She wants to be able to use that efficiency to look at making things better in her job, which is where she'd like to focus her attentions. But also she needs to be able to deliver her mission statement, which is delivering the promise of that food that consumers can rely upon. And for us in Piper, and it kind of brings us back to the subject that the topic we're kind of focused on today, there's a third pillar, which is that data and ensuring that the data that is transmitted is of very high quality, and that it is something that delivers real value to clients, Because as we know, we all get nearly drowned in data at the moment. What's really important is being able to use your experience to pick out what's important there. And that's one of the things that the Piper emphasizes or specializes in. But then the third thing is the application of those things in the real world that Gen's producers and consumers are living in, to make sure that we can improve something for them. And I'll just give you an example, because I think these things kind of come alive when you're talking about the real world examples of them. But one of the things that we've been looking at with Dannon is, as you know, they have a large organic milk business. And through technology and through the analysis of the data that our equipment is picking up, we can, for example, ensure that on no occasion a hauler who's hauling an organic load of milk is able to pick up accidentally a non-organic load of milk and then obviously devalue that whole load, which then has to be treated as regular milk. So in the dairy industry, I think, you know, data is wonderful. The quality of the data that you get is very important. But what's really even more important still is being able to use data to deliver value to your clients.
Absolutely. And also being able to apply that data to, you know, something like organic, one of the major trends that we're seeing at the moment in dairy, from an international perspective, going to the US is a great sign of your capabilities. And it just shows that what you can do really can be patched into a number of Danone's applications. And indeed, that can apply to any customer. Now that Lee has set you up nicely, Jen, with a lot of things that you seem to be looking for, I'm going to promptly flip that right back to you and ask, is there anything, any of those data applications, any of the digital solutions along the dairy value chain that are really exciting you? Or do you think that there are any areas in particular that would benefit further from that kind of digitization?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think of it from the farm level, you know, again, all the way to the table, right? And so from the farmer perspective, like, again, being able to sort of unleash that data, again, I think to Lee's point, we're really good at collecting data. We're very bad at really distilling it to an actionable point. And that's what they help to do. And so a lot of the data we can use at the farm level through their systems, not even just on the Piper trailers, but other systems that they have, use it at the farm level to help manage, get better samples, to help understand what's going on at the cow level, at the farm level. And if we can translate that all the way through to the processing plant and better understanding that and making sure that we have good data and information there. But when I think about sort of bigger picture and sort of my dream state of what we can accomplish with this technology, is that fact that, you know, we haven't figured it out quite yet, but we should be able to scan a carton of milk and be able to know where that came from. Like, this milk made it from farm to carton in 2 days, and it came from this farm. And if you want to have a little background on the farm and really work at building those consumer connections back to the farm and the farmer, this is the kind of information we need to kind of trace this back. And so if you look at their systems, I can, you know, I know the moment that first drop of milk was hit the truck, and I can look at a map and we can watch it go and get to the plant. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that create that consumer connection and help build trust, because they know, yep, exactly where it came from. And so, you know, I think we're just starting on our journey of sort of building, you know, what I'll call just this sort of radical transparency of consumer connection. But it relies, this is step one, right? So it relies on that. And I think it'll just continue to grow from there. So.
Absolutely. And what it sounds like you're saying is that it's not only a trust and accountability issue, but also a safety issue, like we've seen recently, also in the press, fresh produce sector, say with the E. coli outbreak a couple of years ago in the US, that really, traceability in supply chains for consumers is equally important. Would you say that there are potential blockchain applications there for traceability in supply chains?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And again, for all of those, and I think this is, to me, which is why I think it's so appealing, like, you know, Lee said, you know, it depends on who you ask in the business. And I think what's been fun about working with Piper is it has kind of brought everybody in from kind of every part of the dairy sector, for those who are really focused on the efficiency of transport and logistics, right? And then you get folks like me who are kind of narrowly focused on one thing as well. But yeah, that has that potential to bring that all together. And it's where we're going. I think we've had a challenging time for some reason in dairy, getting ahead of it, and we really should be leading the way, I feel. But this is just kind of that foundational building block of getting it to that level where we can follow that through. And from a food safety perspective, it's I think undeniably crucial, where that it would be very helpful to track anything back. And but it also just ties back to the very basics that Lee was talking about, which is that just that sample alone tells me a lot, that I know it's that sample from that farm and it's that milk. And there's, you know, to have 100% assurance that is the sample and that is representative. It seems so simple, but yet it's really transformational to be able to have that level of confidence from a food safety perspective. And then even again, from a trust perspective to the farmer, you know, when I've explained to them the why behind it, because they've lived with this sort of what I'll call an archaic method for so long, you know, why are we going to all this trouble? When I try to explain, it's really quite simple. I want them to get paid for every bet, for every drop, for every pound, for the components. You know, dairying is hard. Milking cows is hard, and I want them to get exactly what they're supposed to. And you know, making sure that it's measured correctly and sampled correctly is part of that. And I don't want to leave it to the whim of a hauler who's might be in a hurry or might be in a good mood or might have missed his dipper. You know, there's so many things, like she says, there's a million little steps in there that can go wrong every day. And this just makes it seamless. So yeah, it's just, to me, it's going to unlock, it'll unlock so much opportunity for us. I'm excited to see kind of what comes next.
That's fantastic to hear the passion you have for the topic. And really sort of two things are standing out to me immediately there. And that's, number one, that it's great with Piper's offering and with digital to be able to draw a granular insight from really a big picture amount of information. You can have all the data in the world, and it's being able to pluck a single sample from that makes it so powerful. And second, like, it's an old saw that it starts with culture and everything starts with culture. And it sounds like, given your background and your expertise, that, you know, that might be people, and it's also the animals. It starts with the animal, and that when you build a system that benefits everybody from the individual cow all the way to, you know, the boardroom, you're really building a system that is self-sustaining and healthier throughout. With that in mind, and, you know, considering the year that we've had, I'm gonna do the rude thing here and say that, you know, we haven't really been able to predict anything at all. I think all of my predictions have gone totally out the window, but I'm going to ask you to try it anyways. And if you're correct, then I might come back to you for the lottery numbers at some date in the future. But Lee, I suppose I can go to you first on this one. Is there a specific area of digital innovation that you've seen through your work that you're particularly excited about, that you think has applications not only here but in the US also?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting one, because in the US, the digital transformation that they're undergoing in our little part of the world is literally going from paper-based and heavily manual milk collection to automation. So that's a huge step, and it's going to deliver tremendous efficiencies in the US market. So that in itself is very exciting, and I do predict that will grow. But I think there's also the potential to, you know, telescope past that very quickly and to get on to the very exciting data-based applications that there are once you automate that. So the type of thing that we're seeing in Ireland with our client companies, in New Zealand with our client companies, is very much now that we can collect milk on an automated basis and now that we have all of this data, how can we mine that to create massive values for ourselves and ensure that we're delivering a top quality product to our consumers? The type of thing that they're looking at, and I know I've spoken to Jen about this before, and you know, we're very excited about working on it together, but for example, you can ensure that over temperature milk is not collected. For example, you can ensure that a schedule is collected so that a driver is going to particular farms only in a particular order. For example, you can ensure that that you're the in terms of dairying, the sample is so important, Joe, and Jen has just talked about that, but even just moving to the knowledge that that sample fully represents exactly what has been produced for sale and confidence around that, that's huge. So really it's the idea that we can suddenly use our data to completely change the way work is done. And particularly in these times, as you're saying, it's really uncertain. But another thing that we have to bear in mind now is that it's not just a bad idea anymore to jump in the car and drive 500 miles because it's going to take a day. It's also a bad idea because you probably don't want to make another contact on that farm. And you probably want to keep all of your team safe at home at their desks if you can. And another thing unlocked by this technology is just being able to, where a flag goes up and you say, oh, we may have a problem here, being able to delve into that data and go back to the cause of that problem and troubleshoot the potential causes of that problem from your desk. So really, in the US, I would say that the opportunity is to automate, but also to telescope past all of the changes that we've been making in Ireland and New Zealand in the dairy industry in the past kind of 10, 15 years, and to bring themselves immediately up to date and immediately looking at the new potential applications for that data. So that's what we're really excited about at the moment.
Absolutely. Jen, I might go to you with a similar question. Do you think we might be seeing a larger data division within a company like Danone North America in the future, or is it? It sounds as if a lot of the questions that the dairy industry is facing in the US are similar to supply chain issues worldwide, and that there might be some symbiosis in the solutions there, where it will come down to data mining and automation.
For sure, no, you know, I think I'm guilty of not paying close enough attention because Lee knows, you know, I'm interested in cows, and so I have a hard time focusing on much else. But I do know that the folks I work with who are in sort of planning and scheduling, and we talk about, I'll say they talk, not we, they talk about forecasting, right? And I'm amazed at the challenges they have around forecasting and volumes. And we talk about shrink. And you come to realize, because again, it's just foundationally, it's a bad number. It's bad data to begin with. So it's that whole, it goes back to that garbage in, garbage out. Like it's not technically shrink if it was never there. We just had a bad number to start with. So it wasn't that it disappeared, right? And so when you're looking at these, the folks in the business who are forecasting cream supply, well, we were supposed to have this much, but we only had this much. Why was that? Well, it's because all of our butter fat samples, if our samples were bad and it gave us a wrong and inaccurate butter fat reading. So instead of estimating that I was going to have 1 million pounds of butter fat, a cream, I only had 800,000, you know, that's a lot. I mean, that means I got to go find, you know, how many more loads at how much more of a price because I didn't plan for that. So if we just talk about having good data to begin with, what that does and allows our folks to deal with and how much time they spend and use in that data. I mean, we just went over our goals in the company yesterday and digital transformation, digital platforms is key. We're focusing on it because we spend so much time and we rely so heavily on that data. to drive everything else from planning and logistics to purchasing to, you know, it kind of sounds insane to boil it down to just knowing that that sample's right has such a huge impact. It's scary to think about that, but it drives so much, and then it again will free up so much other time to let us use that data in ways we haven't even thought of yet, right? So that's what's exciting too, is, you know, when you spend all your time just getting the must-dos done, you don't have a lot of time to think about the what ifs and the what next, and this is what's going to allow us to do that and have that really let the folks who are running the nuts and bolts of the business from a planning perspective, you know, ease some of that uncertainty. The ability to remove that uncertainty from the table, I think, is huge.
Absolutely, we are.
Sorry, just to come back on that and what Jen was saying there reminded me of something which I think is relevant around your question about the predictions and what data can do for us. I think in the dairy industry, and Jen, your emphasis on identifying what consumers prioritize, I think is absolutely correct. I think in the dairy industry in the next few years, we will begin to see increased awareness of the environmental impact of producing that carton of milk or cheese or whatever it is. And I think this is another area that we'll see emphasis on, scrutiny of the carbon or the water that's used in producing the milk, and that coming from pressure from the consumers. And again, it's something where really each piece of the supply chain, I think, will have a role in developing better knowledge and better data around that to be able to deliver that into the number or the information that a consumer gets at the end of the day. So already, for example, Piper tracking that kilometers in terms of a better understanding and knowledge of the miles that are attached to that load of milk. And that's an area where we think we'll see increased focus in the years to come.
That's exactly right. And it has a lot to do with our current work with Horizon Organic and our commitment on carbon, to be carbon positive. And, you know, we do realize that consumers have choices, and we need to make sure that consumers feel good about choosing dairy. Feel as good about it as we feel as good to produce it, right? So having that ability to track that, and then using that data to make it more efficient even, right? So how can we do better? How can we use the data that we have to make more efficient routes, to look for ways to decrease that carbon footprint even more? So
naturally, and I think that one of the really interesting things that you said, Lee, is that, you know, Piper has a capability to track the kilometers as well as the other data points that you guys have always kept in mind. And one of the interesting things about the platform is its scalability. It sounds like you have the ability to customize it as these new demands come in, and, you know, you will have more actionable insights kind of as they're coming on stream in demand. And what I'm interested in getting, and I suppose, Jen, I'd ask you this, is how do you think that the there's a lot of excitement about, say, the coming changes in sustainability in the US over the coming years, perhaps with the new administration. And do you think that we're going to see a regulatory shift in the dairy industry regarding meeting certain parameters for sustainability?
You know, I think it's a good question. I don't know if it'll be regulatory. I think in the US, And what I like, I think how we're different from other countries, and sort of what I like about it is, and it's actually why I came and I kind of ventured into the corporate role, is realizing that really in the US, what drives change is the supply chain. When it comes to things like animal welfare, we haven't gone the legislative route in a lot of that. A lot of the profound change and improvement we've seen in animal welfare has been purely from a supply chain point of view, where our customers have come and said, this is what we want. And I think that's what I think is the most powerful method, and partly because it's nimble. When we talk about legislation and regulations, you know, once you, someone told me once, legislation is easy to create relatively, but it's really hard to change. And so these are all things we're learning all the time. So I actually prefer that these sorts of things live in this corporate space and the supply chain space, because we can be nimble, we can change, we can move faster. And so that's where I think you'll see it. And I think Danone's a great example of that. And you know, we're all in on our commitment to regenerative agriculture, right? We're 100% committed to being carbon positive. It didn't have to be legislated. We looked at it and said, we're a B Corp, and this is what we do, and this is who we are. And so I think you're going to see, I'm sure you'll hear a lot of it from a regulatory perspective, but I don't think it'll keep up. It'll pale in comparison to the pace that companies are going to move, because we can just move so much faster than that and get behind it and really, really move it along a lot faster than you would see otherwise.
Of course. And we hope to see some innovative Irish companies getting in there and driving that change in the US. Now, we're coming close to the end of our discussion, so I might take a couple of the interesting questions that we've seen coming in from the audience. Thank you very much for submitting the questions. Jen, I might go to you first, if that's all right. So we have, what is the best way for Irish companies to approach large MNCs or co-ops in the US when making market entry?
You know, I actually think Lee might answer that best, because they did such a good job. You know, I think, you know, and she spoke to it earlier, was, you know, really understanding your audience, really, and understanding what the need is, and coming, you know, I think what I really appreciated about the work we've done with Piper, and it was, you know, even before I joined Danone, is to watch how they didn't come and say, here's our solution and you should use it. They came and said, you know, they actually kind of, like she said in the beginning, they looked at what our challenges were and how could our solution help that. But it wasn't a one and done. They worked really hard to figure out how their solution fits ours and adapted it. And again, they were nimble and they were curious, and they asked good questions and were interested in sort of the broader success of what we were doing, and not necessarily just the success of their you know, tool that they were presenting to us. And so I think, and Lee, you're much better with words than I am, but I think that was the role. And we talked about it the other day about how that worked. It was really coming in as a partnership, and helping us understand, that, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know. We didn't know we needed it. You know, we'd been moving milk like this for years, and we've been doing it fine. and so it was, you know, bringing that in and then helping us figure out how to make it work within our, you know, the rules of that we have in the US and how things have to function, from a regulatory perspective. So, I'll let Lee unpack that a little bit better, and with better words, but.
No, I think that was a good job. What do you think, Joe?
I think that was pretty succinct. Yeah. That certainly summed it up. But I might actually go to you, Lee, with the flip side. We've had a question in the chat about what is currently holding back wider adoption of the technology and traceability and transparency from farm to consumer, given that we've heard all of the applications and the appetite in market for it. I just hope to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, what has been holding it back, I think, is regulatory barriers. So a huge investment is required to overcome those regulatory barriers in the US. And just because my company has taken the time to do that, that doesn't mean that the next company that comes along won't have to accumulate the data and navigate that process also. I mean, I think it's remarkable. We have great dairy in Ireland, but I do have to say that they have excellent dairy in the US as well. And I think that is not unrelated to the fact that their regulatory environment is so rigorous. So an entrant into that market needs to be able to understand that and needs to have the capacity to be able to go back and look at their product and design accordingly, which is what we have to do. Then we have to bring our product back to that market and test in the US, in their environment, to make sure that we could meet and get over those hurdles. So I think regulatory is one of the big obstacles to having that technology on the ground at the moment. And I think the second thing then is, just as I say, they've invested a tremendous amount in optimizing the processes they have. And so, as Jen's saying, why would they look to fix that unless they could see a benefit? So I think that's why Irish companies need to look at it and need to be able to say to client companies in the US, we've understood it from your point of view. Here's why, from a time efficiency point of view or other efficiencies, this is a return on investment for you. So this is a sensible use of your money. And here's how it drives towards your other objectives, like quality or customer satisfaction or environmental efficiency. So I think there's a process of understanding and translation that needs to happen in order for that adoption to make sense.
Certainly. So take a solution-oriented mindset, iterate ruthlessly to make sure your product fits the bill, and then prove demonstrable value at the end of the day. Good sound principles, and I think great advice for anyone, and thank you very much for taking the question. I've had a very enlightening few minutes, I think, with both of you here. Thank you very, very much for joining, Lee Hamilton and Dr. Jen Walker of Danone North America. I'll now hand you back over to David Corcoran, the head of New England and Midwest, and Minister Troy for some final remarks. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Joe and Lee. Jennifer, thank you for sharing such interesting insights. It was an excellent overview of both the digital transformation in the sector and also a great overview of the potential opportunities for Irish companies. So I'm now delighted to reintroduce Minister Robert Troy to provide closing remarks for today's event. We're delighted that the Minister was able to join us at the beginning of today's session. He's been listening throughout, so we're delighted to welcome him back in. Just for those, as we bring the Minister back in on screen, for anybody who does have questions regarding anything that was discussed today, particularly for our US guests who would like to know more about Irish innovation, or for our Irish guests who would like to know more about entering and scaling in the US, I'd encourage you to speak to Joe, who oversees our AgriTech portfolio. So Joe is going to put his contact details into the chat message. But I'll now, as I said, hand back over to Minister Robert Troy.
Thanks very much, David, and thanks to both Lee and Jennifer and Joe for that very interesting conversation for the last 45 minutes or so. My mother's a school teacher, and she always taught me every day is a school day, and certainly I'm learning. I learned a lot today about the whole agriculture sector, and I suppose the positive role and the positive impact that our digital transformation can play in that sector. And it's really good. It was a good discussion, and I want to thank Enterprise Ireland for providing the forum to do that today, and for both of you for participating. It's great to see Irish firms teaming up with established and reputable multinational companies like Danone, and I think that's very positive. And I wish the venture continued success. And I hope that Irish businesses that have been on the webinar today will take heart from a venture such as this, and that they will see that there is huge opportunities in the international markets. And that they will seize those opportunities. And I hope that our US guests will take confidence in the fact that a company such as Danone can partner up with an Irish company, and that Irish companies can provide innovative solutions, that we are developing solutions in Ireland that will ensure efficiency, sustainability and transparency. And we're very fortunate to have state agencies underground that can make those connections, that can link the companies in North America with good companies in Ireland. We've eight offices, Enterprise Ireland has eight offices in North America, and they are working underground to make those connections, to make those links. And when the connections are made, I can guarantee you that it will be mutually beneficial. Not just good for our Irish companies, we have good services to offer in America. And look at, when you see the confidence of Joe in the last 45 minutes, who wouldn't want working with him on the ground, and indeed David, of course, as well. So look at, thank you very much for asking me to be somewhat a part of the webinar process today. As I said, from my perspective as Minister for with responsibility for trade promotion, 2021, we're going to use as an opportunity to get out there into markets and promote Irish businesses and to show international markets that we have solutions to the challenges that you face. We can do it initially through virtual channels such as today, and hopefully in the latter part of the year we'll have an opportunity to do some international travel and trade shows in various jurisdictions, and I look forward to going to North America when the time arises. So I hope the participants got something from today. I certainly did. Thank you to Lee, thank you Jennifer, Joe and David, and I wish the Americans a very good day, and the Irish, it's coming to the end of the day, I wish you a good evening.
Perfect. Thank you, Minister, and we appreciate you joining us today, and as I said at the beginning of the event, we really appreciate all your support for Irish companies who are trying to trade internationally. So thank you Lee, Jennifer, Joe, and again to all of our audience for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.